We all complain about our jobs from time to time, but our next guest may make you appreciate just how good you might have it. Mike Rowe is the host of Dirty Jobs, a new series on the Discovery Channel that features some of the messiest and toughest jobs out there. You ever wonder what it's like to be a roadkill collector, a septic tank inspector, a golf ball diver, or the person that cleans up pigeon droppings? Well, our next guest has firsthand experience. Mike Rowe joins us from Burbank, California. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave. Cleanest I've been in months.
Mike, where did the idea come from for the show?
Sadly, I've got nobody to blame but me. I was working for CBS up in San Francisco doing a evening magazine show, and this was a segment that I developed with a buddy of mine that basically just profiled local workers in the Bay Area, people with really nasty jobs, and the response was creepy. I mean, people just couldn't get enough of it. They started writing in, you know, you've got to do my job, you should see what my husband does, you should see what my wife does, and before we knew it, we had a little franchise.
Let's focus on some of the dirty jobs you've been part of so far. I'll have you talk a bit about each experience. Let's kick it off, Mike, with roadkill collector.
Roadkill collector is a great dirty job because it's a job of great consequence. If people aren't picking up roadkill within 3 to 3.5 weeks, the entire highway system in the whole country is completely clogged and utterly useless. I went up into Ohio to just hang out for half a day with the guys that are mainly responsible for getting the deer that don't make it to the other side out of the middle.
These are government workers.
Yeah, government workers. These guys work for the county, and they've been on the payroll for a while, and their work is just unspeakable. And the great thing about them, like most of the guys that we wind up profiling, and women, by the way, is that they've got kind of a gallows sense of humor and this, call it a world-weary philosophy that's actually it's very peaceful. These are happy guys doing disgusting work.
Mm. Speaking of which, let's go to septic tank inspector next. That's got to be revolting.
The septic tank was especially epic in a number of ways. His name was Les. He lives outside of Madison. Fascinating guy. Again, just one of these peaceful, deliberate souls that goes through life. Took me to a septic tank, went inside, cleaned it out. Took me to a grease pit outside of an elementary school, went inside, cleaned it out. And then he took me to a little slice of heaven called a pumping station, one of these little bunkers you see from time to time on the side of the road. Most people pass them by. They're not sure what they really are. But when you go into a pumping station, you open a trap door and you descend into this this pit of despair where all the sewage in the neighborhood collects and is then pumped uphill on its way to the water treatment facility. And Les goes in there with a giant hose and knocks all the cholesterol off the walls and stands waist deep in just the most god-awful, vile, putrid fluid you can imagine and laughs while he's doing it. He is a jolly, jolly guy.
Is Les getting paid a lot?
No, and here's the crazy thing about Les, and I mean, I couldn't have written a weirder exchange between us, but when we were at our worst, I turned to him and asked him what he used to do before this. And he said he was a psychiatrist, had a thriving practice for 20 years, which he got out of. And I asked him why, and without missing a beat, he said he was tired of dealing with people's crap. And he's just much happier being a hands-on kind of guy, I suppose.
The smell has just got to be horrendous.
It gets to a point of diminishing return, frankly, where your body, I mean, maybe it's a defense mechanism, but things can only smell so bad. And this is colossally shocking, but then a few minutes into it, you just kind of slip into a fugue state and go about your business.
Next one up, baby chicken sexer. Let's begin with explaining what that is.
Chick sexing is a great dirty job because that's everybody's reaction. They don't know what we're talking about, but the art of determining the proper sex of a baby chick within the first 24 hours is really, really important. It was perfected in Japan. So today, in Webster City, Iowa, you can go to the Murray McMurray Hatchery and find half a dozen elderly Asian American men who sit in a room full of drafting tables. Imagine 80,000 of these little tittering chickens in there with them. And over top of the drafting tables are light bulbs. And on the drafting tables are coffee cans. I'll get to this in a second. Some breeds of chickens can be identified sexually by their color, others by a difference in their wing. There are over 300 breeds, by the way. Mm. But the only way to really get a definitive take on the sex of a chicken is to examine its organs, which unfortunately are located in the rectum. Mm. So chick sexing involves picking up a 24-hour-old baby chicken, squeezing the poop out of it into the coffee can, and then pulling open the opening in question and looking for a microscopic indication of whether it's a boy or a girl. When the determination has been made, the sexer places the chick in a blue bin or a pink bin and then moves on to the next one.
Now, this one sounds less odd, and of all the ones we've talked about so far, this would be mine. Golf ball diver. It doesn't sound too dirty.
Filthy, dangerous, weirdly disgusting job. Hmm. In Florida, in particular, where golf courses are everywhere, bad golfers abound, and many of their tee shots and chip shots wind up making their way into water hazards. Enter the golf ball retrieval experts. Couple of guys who go in after hours in scuba gear and go into these water hazards to pull out the golf balls. The dirty part comes in the fact that the balls aren't floating on the surface, nor are they resting on the bottom. They actually sink sometimes several feet into the muddy silt that forms the bottom of these hazards, along with crocodiles, or alligators, I suppose, cotton mouths, snapping turtles, water moccasins. It's pitch black. You have a net hanging around your neck, and you're literally swimming in the mud, 13, 15, 20 feet underwater sometimes, scooping up these balls purely by touch, dropping them in the net, and then coming back to the surface.
Mm. Is every golf course out there doing this? Are these guys consulting and zooming around to 100 different courses in a weekend? What's the approach here?
Well, it's not quite that mercenary or organized yet, as far as I know. Most of these guys, the guys I hung out with at the Golf Ball Depot, they've got half a dozen courses that they work with, and there's serious money in it. I mean, you got a lot of bad golfers out there. A lot of these balls are only hit one or two times before they're lost. These guys gather them up, take them back to the plant, clean them up, get the mud off, package them, and sell them online for pennies on the dollar. But, you know, they're collecting a couple million a year. You sell them for 25, 50, 60 cents a piece,
sure,
depending on the shape. You got a business.
Mm.
A dirty business.
Like one of our producers saw an episode where a toilet literally exploded. I gather it was flooding this poor person's basement with raw sewage. We believe this was for a disaster cleanup crew. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, shocking. I went to Queens, New York with the intent of following a disaster cleanup squad around the following day as they went to a residence that had been burned. We were going to basically go through and help these people, you know, clean up after a fire.
Mm-hmm.
We got a call later that night saying something unusual had happened. There had been a an explosion of some kind, a minor explosion in a pumping station. And somehow or other, a ton and a half of raw sewage was blown backwards through the pipes in this specific neighborhood outside of Jamaica, Queens.
A ton and a half?
Through a diabolical feat of horrific engineering, all of it came through one toilet in one woman's basement. And her entire club room was suddenly coated in her neighbor's business.
On a more serious note, Mike, do you see any parallels with what's going on for people like this in the Gulf Coast dealing with hurricane damage now?
The parallels are huge, but the tone that we take in dirty jobs, of course, is very different. You know, the most important jobs in all polite society, in all civilized society, are always the dirtiest jobs. And this is really where you see the guys who do this kind of work on a daily basis elevated to heroic status, Red Cross workers, disaster relief people, on this kind of a scale. You know, it's just monumental. The workers and the situations that we try and focus on are the people who do it without any press, without any spectacle, just the people that go about the business day in, day out, month after month, week after week, year after year. What's going on now in the South is just beyond description, and it's going to take a whole lot more than trained specialists to fix it. It's going to take everybody down there is going to be doing a dirty job for a long time.
On a completely unrelated note, as we close, I see in your bio, Mike, you're also a professional opera singer.
Glory days, Dave. Long behind me, and one of my very first dirty jobs.
You want to favor us with a little ditty?
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Perfect.
Hey, if the shoe fits, right?
Mike Rowe is the host of Dirty Jobs on the Discovery Channel. You can catch the show at 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, but be sure to check your local listings to confirm those times if you're in the middle of the country. Mike Rowe, we're huge fans. Thanks so much for joining us on the Motley Fool Radio Show.
My pleasure. I'm going to grab a shower.
Don't let the job get you.